inadvertently, I don't know if inadvertently is the right word or not, but I realized that my message that I prepared for you today kind of continues in the theme of victory and freedom and overcoming. And, you know, we've been talking about this a lot. And I think, you know, it's needed. I think a lot of us, and I think even Heidi mentioned that in her prayer this morning, that, you know, I mean, a lot of people have been beat down, feel beat down, you know. And how many of you are competitive? Anybody, any competitive people here? How many of you like to win? Can some of you like to win? You play a game. I mean, how many of you just love to play a game and lose? How many? I mean, a lot of people don't really care because, you know, you get to play dominoes, or, you know, you play Uno, or you play Ticket to Ride, you know, and it's just the experience. But some of you like to win. I mean, none of us like to be on the losing end. And I remember, still, it sticks with me, that reality show that I watched on the training of the Navy SEALs, you know. Well, we got second place. Second place is just first loser, sir. You know, not many of us like to lose or come in second. Victory is good. Victory is good. And so one of the things that keeps us non-victorious frequently, keeps us bound up, can be our emotions. And, you know, it's interesting because I think we look at emotions sometimes as being negative, as being bad. But I want to talk to you today about guarding your emotions, or, if you will, winning in the battlefield of the mind. How to win in the battlefield of the mind. Now, Joyce Meyer wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. A lot of you have read it. I know it's been helpful for a lot of folks. And this message really isn't rooted in that. But a lot of what we go through in our head, the battles that we face, have to do with learning to come to grips with and channel and control those things that we call emotions. Even those of us that don't think we're emotional. You know, we define folks, right? You know, you're emotional. I'm so emotional. Yeah. Like, even the most stone-faced, cold person I find is emotional. They might express it in a different way, but it's amazing how, regardless of whether we think we're emotional or not, we often find ourselves in bondage to our emotions. So it's good for us to kind of get a handle on that. So what I want to do this morning is very briefly talk about six things that you need to know about overcoming, controlling, getting victory over your emotions. I think my message last week was 6 points. And I think 6 points is 5 points too many to remember, which is why we give you the handout so you can fill in the blanks. And hopefully that will help, you know, later if you catalog those or whatever. At the very least, we can always make a CD or direct you to where the message is uploaded on the internet. But anyway, 6 things that you need to know about overcoming your emotions, having victory over your emotions, getting some control when it comes to your emotions. The first thing you have to understand is this. When our emotions are not sanctified, they can very easily lead us astray. When our emotions are not sanctified. What do I mean by sanctified? It's a kind of a King James word, you know, that we find. The idea of being sanctified. On the most basic level, to sanctify something is to set it apart. It's to set it apart. Now, specifically, we're setting it apart for God. That's the most basic level. You know, so if I was a sheep herder and I had some goats, I could sanctify the sheep from the goats. Okay, whatever. You're like, what's he talking about? Anyway, the reality is when you give your life to the Lord, in essence, God then sanctifies you for his service. But then it goes deeper than that. To have your emotions be sanctified, the Holy Spirit literally needs to take control. You got to give God control. And you want God to purify and own that. That's the only way that you're going to have any control yourself. So unless you've come to a place in your life where you've given your life to the Lord and you've said to God, God, I want you to take my heart and my mind and my soul and purify it and cleanse it and make it every day reflect more and more and more of what you want in my life, well, then probably at some point your emotions may lead you astray. And I'm sure some of you have had your emotions lead you astray. Have you ever done anything stupid because of your emotions, anybody? Just three of you? Okay, the rest of you have not ever done anything stupid because of your emotions. Some of you are going like, oh, have I ever done something stupid because of my emotions? Don't even remind me. Don't even go there. All right. Here's a couple things. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems, and I emphasized seems because this is important. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, we can explain anything from an emotional perspective. I mean, you know, if it feels right, do it. And it sure felt right at the time, but where did that lead me? Oh, death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We have to be careful of where our emotions lead us, especially if our emotions haven't been sanctified, because while it seems right at the time, we can look back and say, oh, snap. 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. I'm kind of expanding the scope of this a little bit because, you know, a spirit, you know, can refer to an actual specific spirit, or it can refer to a feeling in this sense. And so, you know, you're going to have these thoughts cross your mind, and you're going to have things that you're going to think in your head. And what was that from God? You know, I've cited an example from it was either the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel of a woman who they interviewed, who said, well, God told me to leave my husband and go marry this man who already had four wives. And I'm thinking, there's a woman that didn't test the spirits, because the God that I know isn't a God that would tell you to do something that's stupid. Okay, sorry, I'm not judging, but I am. But God told me to. No, he didn't. That was not God. Luke 6:45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Notice the theme there. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. This kind of reminds us that what you put in is what you get out. And part of that sanctifying process of your emotions is your focus. And there's a thing. Look, we live in a society where it's easy to focus on a lot of negative. You can focus on negative attitudes. You can watch the news for a while and get completely depressed. You can work with people who gossip like there's no tomorrow. And all of these things affect you. And if you allow your focus to fall on those things, then it's almost like storing up evil in your heart. And then you wonder why when you go to the well, the water's not clean. Part of that sanctifying, cleansing, purifying process is one of saying, you know, I've got to make decisions to focus on stuff that's good so that my emotions are good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There are some people that you're around. I mean, they're like a dark cloud of doom and gloom and death. And you get in the same room with them and it's like, oh, you know, and you got to love those folks. You got to. But at the same time, you got to know how long you can be with somebody like that and ask yourself, am I being influenced by that, or am I the one that's influencing? Now, these are things we've got to take into account in our life. So just because it feels right or seems right doesn't mean it is right. And a lot of people make choices based on, well, it just felt like the right thing to do. Really? Because right now it feels like I should go over and punch Joe in the face, you know? It feels right. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we do stuff. It felt right at the time. I think the only place that you can actually get off for assault is maybe in Texas, you know? Well, Your Honor, it felt like I needed to do it. Oh, well, if it felt like you needed... No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's like, he needed shooting. Oh, he needed shooting. Well, you know, you're free to go. No, it's not that way. It doesn't work that way. Just because it feels right does not mean it is right. This is not rocket science. This should be common sense. And yet, as adults, many of us still fall prey to going with what feels right. Oh, I prayed and got a piece about it. A piece of what? Cake? No, I mean, anyway, it doesn't matter. Just because you get peace, I want to know about truth. Let's talk about truth. Number two, truth protects us from making wrong decisions based on our emotions. Okay, so truth protects us. If you're willing to stop for a moment and say, okay, I know what it feels like right now. I know what it seems like, but what is the truth about this situation? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 reminds us of a number of things. And I'm going to focus a little bit more on the belt of truth here, okay? We're going to read some of this stuff that's familiar. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to, or so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. This is a good reminder, you know, who's the enemy here? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I bring this out because, and I want to focus particularly on the belt, because the belt was more in the image that Paul was laying forth here in the scriptures. He's got a picture of Roman armor. You know, you think of the traditional Roman soldier armor, and the belt was more than just a belt like I'm wearing. It would have had the leather strips that would hang down. You know, it was a fairly elaborate affair. You know, it kind of kept the breastplate together, and it protected an area of the soldier more than just a simple belt would, unless you're a cowboy and you have a belt buckle the size of a dinner plate, and that'll protect you from bullets. But anyway, the belt buckle of truth. No. Did you know then that the belt of truth protects the area of the body which the Jewish people considered to be the seat of the emotions? You know, we talk about loving somebody with all our heart. But for them, you know, when you read about Jesus having compassion, that word compassion in the Greek was a word that meant a stirring of the bowels. You know, think about that for a minute. When you have butterflies in your stomach, you know, they had a tendency to associate emotions with the area in the lower abdomen where you would be nervous, where you would be afraid, you know, and you would feel that down here. You know, so perhaps maybe they would have said something like, I love you with all of my liver, you know, or all of my intestines. You know, it brings a whole new meaning to intestinal fortitude. But anyway, that's another thing. I don't even know what I'm talking about. So the belt of truth. Truth protects the emotions. Why? Emotions are very frequently not based on truth. And when you know what the truth is, oftentimes you can make a decision based on truth that isn't ruled by emotions. And so the belt of truth protects the seat of the emotions. I'm reminded of a man who I may or may not be related to. See, this is on the internet. So, who 3 wives later, and a string of kids from one side of the country to the middle, and a 4th marriage. You look at it and you think, this is ridiculous. But his grandmother said, but he's happy. Well, I'm sure glad he's happy, because there's a pretty big swath of unhappy people in the wake of that. What's the truth here? You know, in our search for happiness and trying to fulfill feelings, we leave commitments and broken hearts in the wake. And the reality is, when you trump truth with emotion, it's disastrous. When you let your feelings, I mean, if that's what your pursuit is, I just want to be happy, well, then there will be a swath in your wake like an F5 tornado. Because if that's all you care about, I just want to be happy, then there's going to be a lot of destruction. Now, seeking the joy of the Lord is a different thing. And the truth of what God wants in your life is an entirely different thing as well. Believe it or not, it is possible to take control of your thoughts and emotions. Oh, yes. Well, at least the scripture says that. Now, if you want to argue with scripture, fine. But then you don't have to argue with me anymore. Let me give you an example here. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And again, that's a word that means, you know, physical, of the flesh, fleshly. They're not physical weapons, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And this is one thing we have been talking about for the past few weeks. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where do arguments happen? In our head. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I mean, Paul is describing somebody who goes into their own head and says, you know what, thoughts, you are going to come into control if I have to beat you into submission. I take control of what I think about. I take control of my emotions. It may not be an easy thing to do, but it's something that God makes possible with his weapons. Part of that battle is focus, knowing the truth. But let's go to the next point. Your focus then will affect your feelings. It just will. What you focus on will affect your feelings. We have a tendency to let our feelings affect our focus and our attitude and our outlook instead of choosing to focus on things that actually positively affect how we feel and what our emotions are. So what do you focus on? What is it that you focus on then? Because that, you know, a lot of people will say things, well, you know, I listen to this music, but I don't really listen to the words, or I watch those movies, but I don't really pay attention to that scene or those. And the reality is we are deluding ourselves into thinking that we can listen to that stuff or watch that stuff and focus on that stuff and have it not affect us in a way that could be very negative. We're not immune to that. You know, it's almost like saying, you know I drink, you know, 43 cans of Mountain Dew a day, but the caffeine doesn't really affect me. As your teeth are rotting out of your head, you know, or whatever. I mean, it just, there's an effect there. You can deny it, but poison is still poison. I drink this poison, but, you know, I just do it because of the buzz. Okay, whatever. And then poison snakes. Okay, sorry. If you know that reference, come tell me later. Okay, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he gives you a strategy for not worrying. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What you choose to meditate on will affect your feelings and your outlook. It's just, it's that's just the way it's going to be. And I know in our society, there may not be a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I think there are things that we think are noble and pure and excellent and praiseworthy. And if you really stopped, they're really kind of like mediocre and mundane. Instead of looking at things that are really worth, you know, that have worth and have value. Number five, emotions aren't controlled very effectively by mere human willpower. Okay, so no, there is a willpower factor here, but if that's all you're using, you're going to set yourself up to fail. There is a discipline factor, but it's more than that. You know, we've talked about truth. We've talked about focus. If you just say to yourself, I'm not going to be angry, I'm not going to be angry, I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be jealous, I'm not going to be jealous, I'm not going to be jealous. You know how long that lasts, right? It's like, you know, it's at Christmas time and you're sitting with your Uncle Charlie and you know you can't talk politics with him. How about that election? Oops. You know, I mean, it just, it's going to come out. Mark Twain said, all emotion is involuntary. I think he understood something about emotion. You know, if it's authentic, it just sort of comes out. And I think if we go back to the verse, it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, because so much of our emotion is involuntary. I want my heart to be full of stuff, you know, so in those moments of time when I'm tempted to be angry or weak, what comes out of my face isn't negativity and sorrow, because I've been filling my heart with stuff that's good. You know, it comes back to the practical nature of God's word and God's truth. In fact, it really boils down to this. I don't know if I have my points in a good order or not. As I've been sharing this with you, I'm not sure that I've laid this out right, but it is what it is. Choosing to live by, and only by, the truth of God's word. And this is a choice. Okay, there's the willpower factor, but understand God's word is powerful, and this is where it all kind of comes together. You know, when I choose to live by the truth of God's word, this is the only truly effective way that I'm going to be able to have to rise above incorrect decisions based on untrustworthy emotions. I would have had more blanks in that, but I ran out of room on the sheet, so I had to sacrifice somewhere. The truth of God's word. John 8. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, when you abide in something, it's not like you visit there once a year. You know, abiding in the word of God isn't like going to church once a week or twice a month or once a month. It's realizing that, okay, I need a manual, and I have the manual, and I need to read the manual, and I need to live in that place where God's truth dictates to my life the decisions that I make, how I respond, and what I do. Not my emotions, not how I feel at the moment. Example, let's talk about fear. Fear is a powerful emotion. Fear is not based on an actual knowledge of the truth. Do you know that? I mean, sometimes we like to tell ourselves that it is. You know, and you can have a healthy respect for something based on knowledge of the truth, but respect isn't fear. Fear, as we understand it, is often based more on what we think we see going on around us, or what we feel may happen, what we're afraid is about to happen, what we think might be on the horizon. And you see how that isn't really based on truth. It's based on assumptions. It's based on perceptions. It's based on feelings. It's based on threat, which is why the scripture indicates to us that fear is in essence the opposite of faith, because fear is based on everything that faith is not. Faith instead is based on knowledge of God's truth and is actually based on what we know God has said would happen if we do this, not what we feel would happen. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. This is the truth about fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So my ability not to fear seems to be connected to my understanding of God's love and God's character and God's willing to perfect that love in me. Interesting. What about last verse here? 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is truth. And this is what God desires to build in you. Power, love, and soundness of mind. I mean, how many of you feel like, man, I could use that? Especially this week, today. I could have used that Thursday. It's a It's okay, you don't have to put your hand up, Johnny. It's all right. Am I saying this is easy? No. But I am saying that God has not left you hanging out to dry without the capacity or the tools that you need to get a handle on your emotions. I believe that with all my heart. And that's why I'm sharing this stuff with you today. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God that desires to sanctify and cleanse and make whole everything in our lives. Not, you're not just interested about our eternal salvation, which you are, but you're also interested in the process right now, today, on this earth, where your desire is to mold us and shape us and help us more clearly reflect the image of your Son. And what better way for us to reflect that image than to learn what it means to control our emotions and to get a handle on that so that we don't panic, we don't make decisions based on fear. Instead, God, we trust you, we look to your truth, we look to your word, and we make choices based on wisdom and insight, direction from your word, direction from your Spirit, God. I pray that you would help us in the battle against the enemy, God, that we would not fall prey to allow our emotions to rule what we say, to rule what we do. I know, God, if we can gain victory over this area of our life, so many other things will fall into place. God, we thank you for your direction and your guidance, your encouragement daily. And I pray, God, you would help us not to buy the lie that the enemy tries to plant in our head that says we just can't help it, we just can't do anything about that. I believe, God, you want us to take control of these things as you have given us the tools and the weapons that we need that have that divine power to demolish the strongholds that the enemy would set up in our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, you don't look very emotional. Okay, whatever. I don't know. All right. God bless. Have a great week.